Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Insight into Healing. My name is Alexa Servadidio, and I'm your host. I have such an incredible, funny show for us tonight. On the line, we have Jerry Parisi. Jerry Parisi started his acting career as a child. He got his SAG card in 1981. His earliest commercial was for DHL. He was a background for TV and movies, also a featured extra in Dreams Don't Die and an extra in King Kong and Fort Apache in the Bronx. He's visible in Death Trap and can be seen in many other crowd scenes. Jerry was on the famed Prize Patrol at Publishers Clearinghouse, and he was also appeared on two covers on the Long Island newspaper Newsday. Once as Ebenezer Scrooge, a character he recreates every year, and got a chance to work with the world-famous Rockettes. His second cover was for a haunted boat ride as Captain Jack. Jerry held a position for a year on the Smith Sabatino radio show, hosted by Roland Smith and Carl Sabatino. Jerry has played a thief on True TV's Caught Red-Handed, and he's also graced the TV screen with close to a dozen commercials, advertising industries. As of late, he hosts the Long Island Filmmaker Show, a show on MadhouseTV.com. The same show also airs on Long Island Cable 20. Welcome so much to the show tonight, Jerry. It's a pleasure to have you.
I was just trying to figure out how many words you use to describe you, which is a pretty good amount, I think. I got to say that if it weren't for Madhouse, a lot of these things couldn't happen, because that's when I really like jumped from one set of things, like the Prize Patrol and the newspaper covers, to on TV, and then later Channel 20. And I actually produce three shows for Channel 20 now. It's Legal Straight Talk with Brett Harrison and Tom Mealy, and The Long Island View with Tommy Marr and Tom Mealy. And I actually have three more shows coming, which I should be pulling my hair out for. But I like this
stuff.
How
do you manage all these shows? Because it's a lot to have on your plate. How do you manage them?
You know what? It's like this. There are monthly deadlines that I have to have four shows. That's a show every week for each show. Now, that would be 12 different discs, okay, times two sets of discs, because one goes to one outlet in Long Island and one goes to another. And why I tell you that is because 24 discs have to be burned per month. Now, to get to those 24 discs, we make our shows. We make them live on Madhouse TV, and of course you've been on that with us, and we'll see you Friday again, which is really exciting.
Yes, I'm so excited to come back out again.
You know, a lot of people love you.
Oh, thank you.
Larry Dubin wants to propose to you about 500 more times before you probably notice him, but, you know, it's all right. And he's such a good guy. But so we're back to this thing. So in doing all that, I have to also make room for all the artwork that gets done, because I, being from advertising, won't trust anybody to do my artwork and stuff. And so I have to knock that out. So in between the burning of 24 discs that could go sometimes 20 hours a day, sometimes one right after another, and of course make it and edit and put the titles and extra credits and laugh tracks sometimes when I'm not laughed at enough. You know, I got to put those in. Got to be laughed at.
I couldn't imagine that.
I know, right? But the reality is all that goes into it, and I have my hours picked out. Like, I know at a certain hour tonight, when I'm done with you, for example, I will actually be doing Art for Friday show, which you'll see yourself come out tomorrow, you and of course, the Dishin' with Sid people. And so that's going to be coming out. And the same thing with cable. So the beginning of the week, to manage the time, is all about cable up until Tuesday night and Wednesday morning. And then Wednesday morning, that stuff gets finished, and we begin the stuff for Madhouse Live on Friday. See? So it's a juggle. And then, of course, I have my other streams of income. I got to do something for a living, so I still have some advertising clients. And I have a couple of part-time things I do, like there's not enough time for me, right? Like I take people to church Sunday in a van, you know, a big bus, and I do some stand-up. And I do other things, too, during the week to, you know, not only for income, but just because I like doing it or I wouldn't do it.
Yes. And we spoke about this earlier, that to be in the entertainment business, you have to have that characteristic of being able to juggle.
Without
a multitask.
You know what? If you can't juggle, in my opinion, you're going to get lost, because if the tidal wave happens, and I would say my tidal wave is only feeling at this point the mist in the air. It's not even near the tidal wave. I mean, that's basically because there's so much to do to get where you have to go in this industry that if you don't juggle your time, if you don't sit down and say, okay, this is good for my career, that's bad for the career. This is a green light, that's a red light. This is a yellow light, let me hold it on the back burner to see where it goes. You're not going to make it. You've got to pick and choose wisely. For example, in Washington, I got a call from a station looking for what was the Long Island Filmmaker Show, and actually, as of maybe about 8 weeks ago, we began running a campaign that is only called the Filmmaker Show, no more Long Island Filmmaker Show, because in speaking with the station, they wanted to know what we could do about that, because no one cares in their state about what Long Island is doing. So, mm-hmm. You know, you have to judiciously say, all right, if I make this change, you know, will this help me? Or, you know, I'm booked for a Scrooge movie. And that's why for a long time I had a beard and a white hair growing out, because that's the way they wanted to see me. And then we finally got our photos and everything needed to be done for pre-production. And finally I got my look back, thank God. And that had to be done, because if that wasn't juggled in, try to understand this, then I couldn't be able to do any other kind of work. And I was just in some scenes for Inside Amy Schumer this past week. And I could not get on that set matching my headshot if I had the gray hair and the beard. So you have to look at these things and say, all right, it's going to take 3 months out of my life or 4 months to grow this. That means I can't do regular movies. What else can I do to get in the slot? So you really have to juggle. That's the key to it, juggling, being out there. In fact, to take it a little further, I have an Excel spreadsheet that I started 2 years ago. And every year I say, okay, I've done one commercial, I have to beat it with four commercials. I've done one movie, got to beat it with four movies. I've done this many TV shows, I go to that many more. And it's like never-ending cycle that once you get good at it, you keep pushing and pounding. Like I was on the newspaper 1 year on the cover. I was actually two covers. But the reality is then I was in two inside spreads. And so If you don't keep this going, you're never going to be out there. You got to be your own publicist, you know, which I actually have to get a publicist soon.
It makes a lot of sense, because sometimes, you know, people have this belief that, you know, it's going to come knocking on the door. You really have to go out there and make it happen. As I have with my own radio show, my own television show, you know, you have to make out, you know, make what you need, what you want, and surround yourself with the people that support you and that are positive and helpful.
Yeah, you got to be positive, and you got to be, you. It's helpful is very important. I mean, sooner or later you have to learn to delegate jobs through people or yourself or your team. And it's impossible otherwise to move forward. You get caught up in your own tidal wave, for example, as I like to call it. And if you get caught up in your own tidal wave, you're just going to drown. So you got to surf that, you know?
Yes. I know so many times people say, how do you sort through each day? How do you know what you're going to do with all the different careers? And I think you have to do it. You have a spreadsheet, have a journal, and write down the different tasks that you need to do, the different contacts. And also, it's also network and reaching out and contacting people, I find, is a huge, huge part of this industry.
Absolutely. And first of all, I know you do the same thing. I know you've got much going on in your life, which you very much impressed me when I first met you about the amount of things you do. So you can actually understand where I'm coming from with this. But I'll say this, that if you don't have this way about you where you can juggle and really change gears, sort of like a trailer truck, you know, then that's a big part of your life you can't do. So, you know, in terms of a year, you have to take a year apart and say, okay, when can I do some plays? And we do all the Christmas things, as you know. And that keeps the play actor, let's call it, out there in the field. And that gets me publicity in newspapers and what have you. Then there's the inside actor that do the commercials and now, of course, even bigger things, where you know, speaking lines are coming place, and of course then the TV shows. So you have to have that mapped out. Any aspiring actor or actress has to map it out. They have to understand that this is a business and you have to come full circle, which means you got to start with a concept and do all the necessary things you got to keep going to do, which includes your publicity, which includes you being in some place because you got to keep the craft going. It includes the advertising part of you, and it includes just about every other kind of meeting you can do to get your next set of jobs. And that's all got to come in the end and still make money. So that's coming full circle, you know?
Yes, yes. I mean, you have to support yourself, too. It, you know, and I know sometimes people have always said, you know, you have to pick one career, Alexa. You can't do all of them. And I always do a lot of different things. But I find you have to make sure, too, that you're supporting yourself and your quality of life is good in order to be the best actor, best actress, best you that you can be.
Well, you got to do... You got to be able to keep certain daytime open somehow. The daytime, because those people who are sitting in offices that need to hear you talk to them, you can't do it with a regular job. So you can either work nights, which really knocks the daylights out of you, you do it enough, or you could find some part-time jobs. And I'm like you at this point, even though I've got advertising clients that I could do the design and knock out the work quickly, they only pay about once a month with retainers. So I still need the weekly stuff, and I find that doing part-time things during the day where it opens up a portion of the day to get on, to meet people, go to auditions, and, you know, things that have the networking, that's all got to be done. So you got to find yourself a job where you could do that, and then you may have to work other days you don't want to work. Like on Sunday, I take seniors to church. I take them in a senior bus, and I do stand-up comedy, and I do a lot of other things on a Sunday when you wouldn't normally be talking to office people. So you got to give up a day there. Saturday just is the day that I play catch-up, and Sunday night I do the View, the Long Island View over at Madhouse. I direct that. So.
And what is that about, the Long Island View?
The Long Island View was set up by Tom Mealy and Tommy Marr to highlight people on Long Island and the great things that they do for other people. We just had a gentleman on that had a life support unit. I'll tell you what it's called right now. It's called the Life Vac. And he was on there. And what it looks like is a small yellow, and I want to say toilet bowl plunger, but not the kind with the red little end to it, the kind that's like a bellows. And he's created this, and what he does is he sells these to ambulance companies, schools, restaurants. Very important, because in the time it takes for someone to do the Heimlich, this thing goes on your face and goes boom, and in 1 second, like a plunger, it's out. And he demonstrates it on a regular dummy, you know. And so I was pretty impressed by that. But the Long Island View, to bring this full circle, what they do is they highlight stuff like that, and they bring people to life. And they could be entertainers, they could be inventors like this gentleman, they could be promoters. I mean, you name it, there's a lot of people on Long Island. We just did a remote view for a gentleman by the name of Mike Dillon. He's a comedian that lost a leg to diabetes, and they did, with all the comedians in the snow on Sunday, they did this big, huge, I guess, benefit for him, which my wife, Michelle, and I, we were like, quickly, we need emergency help, and we dropped everything to go over to Madhouse and to go to this comedy club to do it. So that's what The View is about, and it's a nice show about nice things.
Wow. Really highlights people and their strengths and things that for other people to find out that's useful, that gives back to the community.
Yeah, and Long Island in and of itself is its own big, huge community. And so that's the scoop with that. But, I mean, they're wonderful because they bring these people to light. I feel that, you know, it's a show that's needed for something like this, and it gets good ratings. It's one of the big three I produce on cable TV, Channel 20.
Wow. How did you come about with the filmmaker show that you do, that I've actually was on a couple of months ago?
Oh, man, that filmmaker show, once they saw your face on those ads, forget about it. I had more. Oh. Really did. I have to tell you. I didn't want to embarrass you on the television. Hey, who's that girl? What's she do? Where can we meet her? How's this? How's that? I was like, guys, get off. Leave the poor thing alone, will you? You know what it is? You have this beautiful, effervescent personality that when we all met you, we were like, oh, my God, we fell in love with her. And except for Howard, who proposed to you there, and probably coming up second is Larry wanting to propose again. So, you know, you got proposals one right after another now. You know.
Yes, it's very nice. It's very flattering.
It is. You know. So how did I come upon the filmmaker show? Well, a gentleman by the name of Greg Priscino actually had the filmmaker show. It was called the Long Island Filmmaker Show on Channel 20. And he had it running for a good amount of time, maybe, I want to say, 2 years, maybe a little more. I should really know this. But the gentleman, I helped him a few times with guests and advertising and, of course, me being a guest a couple of times. He came over to me one day. He says, I want to do more movies, and I want to do this, and I can't keep doing the filmmaker show. And I said, all right. So, you know, he says, so when you come on my show, I'm going to pass it off to you. It'll be yours. Well, that's all he had to tell me. Now, at the same time, you know, he asked me, can you bring it up a level or two? He was shooting his at Cablevision, whereas I was affiliated with Madhouse TV, who I can't say enough about Tom Mealy, Vicky Mealy, Janine Zirilli, and Tommy Maher. Those people are incredible in what they do. And we all kind of like gel together in a nice way. And so I brought the filmmaker show there. So already it took the leap over cable because of the studios are much, I want to say elegant is the best word in a word. You know, they're much more elegant and much more versatile in what cable offered. So now we put together the filmmaker show. It's still called the Long Island Filmmakers at the show at the time. And I inherited the theme song and this and that. And, of course, there's a nice title based on the concept of Greg Priscino, whatever it actually says. And so I did all of that, and we gained speed and momentum. Now I'm bringing in, because we have to have a half-hour show on cable every week, I'm doing an hour. So I'm doing two shows. So for two shows, in fact, Alexa, I just was counting it. We're on our 27th show on the air, but I have 15 more in the can waiting to be brought over, way more than the other two episodes of The View or The Legal Straight Talk. So I'm never going to be at a loss for my show because we do that many more. And I've done the same policy now with The Long Island View and Legal Straight Talk. So we'll never be at a loss. There'll always be fresh shows, you know.
How do you find your guest for these shows, especially for the Long Island filmmakers?
Well, you know, that's a really good question because what I have is a binder, and it has all the Fridays listed on it. In fact, I am proud to say that where are we? We are in March. I actually filled the June slots now. And that's how many people want to come on the show. In fact, the truth is I'm actually looking now for different people, not from Long Island so much. The people from Sylvia Faye I had contacted this week. That's a huge casting outfit in New York City. I'm enlisting my agent Angela Galizio to start helping me with bigger names, A-listers if we can, or anywhere we can go. And how I get them is I talk to them and I show them sometimes. I send them links, whatever. I send them dates. And they all want to be on, and they write back to me. In fact, I think Michelle just wrote to – who did you write to, honey? Teresa Caputo. She is the Long Island medium. Right,
oh,
and
yes,
she just wrote
yes.
Tonight, yeah. So we're looking to get all kinds of guests on a show. My love is still acting, but the show keeps my name out there, and that's the truth. That's the way that works, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it's great to meet everyone, too. I mean, you come into contact, I know also with my radio show and stuff, and television show, you meet so many incredible people and so many contacts. It's just wonderful.
You do. You know, you really do. And what I love about it is I get closer to the people that I want to meet. Because there's, you know, some people I truly want to meet and some people I don't want to meet. Not that I don't want to meet, but sort of like they're not part of the world that I you know, for example, let me straighten this whole thing out. If I had to meet one superstar, it wouldn't be a girl. It would probably be, I would really want to meet Robert Downey Jr.
Yes, I love him.
You know, so there's people I pick and choose I'd love to meet, you know.
Well, how do you feel? What about Robert Downey Jr.?
Mm-hmm.
Are you taken by with him?
He reminds me of me. But I will bet any amount of money that if I met him, he'll probably be 10 times the size easily. And I would be very humble to meet someone like that. I was very humble to meet Amy Schumer on the set. I didn't bother her. She did what she had to do. I had to stay there. And I gave her all her space. I just was very happy to be working on that set. And, you know, I would probably be the same way with him. I probably wouldn't say anything unless I was spoken to. Maybe for him it'd be a little different. You know, the ego might jump into my way. But I love what he does. I love how he helps people. He makes people all over the world very happy. And I watched, you know, a lot of different things that are on, you know, YouTube about him, where he will show up somewhere. Like, I think they did this Comic-Con, and, you know, all these little kids are screaming, Iron Man, Iron Man. They're all dressed as Iron Man. And, of course, the guy says, I don't hear you. And then the kids are screaming louder and louder. And finally they yell at the top of their lungs, and he comes out of nowhere. He says, someone call my name. And of course, then you see all the moms falling over the table, and the dads are grabbing their cameras, and everybody falls over backwards.
I'd be falling over. I think he's the most incredible actor. He's also, I find, gorgeous. But he's also such a talented actor. I still remember him in that movie Less Than Zero, which was my favorite movie. He was so incredible in that movie.
Well, I met him. Well, I didn't meet him. I mean, I saw him first time on Ally McBeal. And that's the first time I ever saw him.
Mm-hmm.
And something about him, geez, he's a nice guy. He resonated with me. It's like, oh, wow. So that would be a person that I would say I'd want to meet over anybody. In fact, I think he's got an incredible thing going on right now. I was just looking at that on YouTube, where he's got a thing going on. I'll pull a plug for him. And if you send $10 to omaz.com/RDJ, you're in for a treat if you're picked, because he's going to take you to the opening of the Avengers in a limo. He's going to do a whole bunch of things with him. I would say go on YouTube and search him out if you're a Robert Downey Jr. fan, and help his good cause, because I think the money goes to a place called Julia's House, and that's probably similar to what we have here on Long Island, but I don't want to venture and say the wrong thing. But it's a place for kids to be rehabbed, and I guess a hospice in itself, you know?
Wow, that's incredible. It's incredible. I love watching, you know, seeing actors, seeing other entertainment people giving back to the community and supporting and really helping people out that need it.
Well, in my book, that's why I probably take these people to church and do these things. You know, I had I traded my beach in on Sunday mornings to be able to work this place. And I guess to me the best way of saying thank you to the man upstairs isn't so much saying it, but showing it. And that, I think, is better, because someone's going to benefit somewhere when you show it rather than say it. And that's how I would want to be.
Yes, yes. And I think to see the look on their faces and to help someone is just such is priceless, how you feel and how you make somebody else's day.
Sure, 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 without a doubt. Someone should make my day one of these days. I'm not always as happy as I seem, by the way.
I'm like anybody else. Because you're hysteric. You're so funny. I know you do stand-up comedy, too. But how do you stay so positive and upbeat and have a good way about you?
I would probably want to blame my wife for all that good upbeatness, you know. She puts up with everything, including my proposals to Kelly Clarkson on the radio. But
we have to cover that next.
We'll do that. The reality is, how do I stay upbeat? There's no sense in looking. There's no sense in being negative. Everybody's negative enough, and I just look for all the positive in anything I can find. And even if you get a portion of a chance rather than no chance, it's still better to have a portion of a chance than it is not to have any chance. You know what I mean? So whatever you want to apply that to, be positive. Things are there's always going to be a rough surface. People never really march to the same beat as each other. You just got to make it work and be thankful and that you can make it work, because no matter how you turn around, there's somebody's got less than you. You know what I mean?
Yes.
There's no one has everything, you know?
No. And I think, yeah, definitely, you know, trying to keep one foot in front of the other and just keeping positive, keeping healthy and keeping on track.
Sure. And I feel bad for the people who don't look as good as me. That's the thing. I think the only thing that really gets me down is the snow. I am such a summer person that all I do is scream out 90 degrees. I like the four H's. Hazy, hot, humid, high in the 90s with a chance of showers tonight is my favorite, you know, weather report, because I love hot weather. I just can't get enough of it. And what gets me down is really the snow and the cold and all of that, lack of light. But I still try to get through it and be happy. There's nothing you can do about that, you know?
And talking about snow, we're all supposed to get some snow tonight, too, I think.
Yeah. Thank you very much for reminding me.
Sorry. Well, we're closer to spring. We're almost there. Next week is supposed to be in the 50s, so I think we'll be very lucky. It'll be like summer.
I think this is the last of it. I'm hoping it's the last of it. You know, it is what it is. But what are you going to do? So anyway, having said all of that, yeah, I need to keep happy myself too, and I usually do stupid things to keep myself happy.
Tell our listeners about the Scrooge, because when I met you, when I did the show, you were telling about the Scrooge and how you interact with different people and the environment. I think it's so incredible.
Humbug, dear. I really don't want to talk about Mr. Scrooge. He hates everyone. No, I will talk about him. Somewhere about 9 years ago, maybe 8 or 9 years ago, I was contacted by someone to do a recreation for the street fair in a certain town in Port Jefferson, and the village of Port Jefferson is what I'm really trying to say. And I did that, and I began to really like that character a lot. I'm not the Dickens fan. In fact, my wife actually was shocked to hear this, that people think I might be. It's just the character works well with me, see? And what's really amazing, when she and I had met, we really never met the way I say, where we fell out of airplanes and her parachute was tangled in mine. It's really not true. We met online, actually. And why I put myself there is because everybody I tend to meet turns into something of business, girls as well, ladies as well. Somehow it becomes a business thing, you know. And I wanted someone not attracted to me from the industry or either movies, TVs, or advertising. She had read all about me doing this and had seen me, but never knew it was me, because under the white wigs and things like this, you don't really see my face that much. And she was very happy to reply to me, I suppose, and that's how that all started. But back to being that, so I did that for about 6 years, and it was time to really move on, because, you know, the way I like to do things is to leave a little bit of a legacy and keep moving bigger and better. I always have to take something to the next level. And we did. We proudly began in Nassau County at the old Bethpage Restoration Live shows. We took our nursing home shows and really, really expanded on that. That was something I really wanted to do for a lot of reasons. It's not just that we are with these wonderful seniors who never get out and get around, but in truth, the show we put together, Scrooge's Dream, needs dress rehearsals in front of crowds before we go on to the big stages. And a lot of times I'm giving actors their first shot at doing things, so there's a lot of work behind making them ready. And just like any play, before opening night, there's the jitters, there people are scared. I'm not. I just make a fool of myself. But they need help. So really, really go into many, many nursing homes. The ones in Atria are wonderful. That happens to be a wonderful organization, Atria.
Oh,
and
yes.
It is wonderful. One of the people who run them are wonderful. We go to many, many atrias, not just one. And then there were some of the other ones as well. And then we've even gone to the vet's home this year and started doing that kind of hospital work. So who's really helping who? It's they're helping us to gain audience and participation, and we're helping them have fun. But in the end, when we go out to the paying crowds, and I think we did 15 shows this year, proudly, at the Restoration, those shows were really perfect. The last one was incredible, standing ovations and everything. And that's what it's all about to us, you know.
Yes, and what a chance to really get to work out everything and to explore your character while you're doing it at the different nursing homes and different audiences.
Not just that. We were actually asked by a prominent friend of mine who owns Q Productions. Her name is Susan Gaddy, an incredible, incredible film company here on Long Island, that she's also part of one of the chambers, Babylon, and has asked us to create a brand new Dickens Festival for them, which, strangely enough, got to the ears of two or three other towns, and now they want us there too. So this year, it's going to be big because we're going to be doing a lot of these festivals towards probably November all the way into January like we did. So that and a move goal about it.
What is actually the festival? What does it entail?
Well, you're going to find out because we're going to suck you right into this.
I know. I remember you were telling me about it. I was like, this sounds great.
Yeah. Well, what
like
it
so
is we Scrooge's Dream is its own play. And it's a very hilarious play about what's going on between them. We don't really use a lot of props. So it's really, people have to imagine. You have to create these things, you know, in your own movements. I have to create the stove in front of me, or the actors have to create the table in front of them, Mr. and Mrs. Cratchit, things like that. But what it entails in a festival is walking around the town, singing songs, and in my case, I'm usually bah humbugging the songs, and, you know, just getting out there and making people happy. And, you know, it also entails sitting at their table while they're eating and grabbing off their plate if need be. People tend to heckle you, so you gotta – and they do it in a good way, by the way. Never mean. I've never had a mean experience. But they do. They want to be as funny as you, and you got to be ready for them. You got to be quick with your tongue. And, for example, some guys came up to me, and they were laughing, and they said, "Are you the Grinch?" And I looked at them and said, "He's green, stupid. I am Mr. Scrooge," and kept walking. And they're dying laughing, and I'm doing anything I can to hold the laughter back because I got to keep in character, you know? But it's never really mean. It's just silly things like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is.
I can't wait. I definitely am.
Yeah, and you know, I know Mr. Cratchit will be proposing you 10 times over.
I'll be the Mrs. Cratchit.
You know what? I want to let you choose your character when it's time, and there's plenty to work with, you know. We do have a great cast, and I ask them always back to – hopefully we'll all have them all back, and you'll just join a giant cast. But I know there's going to be a lot to do. I know it's going to be fun, too, so it'll be great, you know.
I'm definitely looking forward to it. So let's get to your obsession with Kelly Clarkson.
Yes, let's get to that obsession with Kelly Clarkson. The reality is I actually don't have one. And I'm sad to say this because I'm going to be on the Smith Sabatino show this week, and they're probably going to ask me the same question. Jerry, are you going to propose to Kelly again? What happened was this. We were doing a live show which over at WNYM and Envision Radio, and someone had run past the door of the studio. That knocked it open, and someone directly behind them started screaming down the hallway, which everyone looked up, and they heard over the radio what was going on, okay? So there was this dead silence, And for that moment, I looked up and said, I guess this is the part of the show where I actually get to propose to Kelly Clarkson, which then immediately made everybody laugh. I got a text from, at the time, my wife was my girlfriend, saying, she just called. Good luck, I'm out of here. So, I was almost going to say, I think I just broke up with my girlfriend on the phone, on the radio here. But we didn't, thankfully. And what had happened was, after that show was over, I said it in jest. I'm usually quick with these little lines. Roland and Carl came over to me and says, Jerry. I said, yeah, Carl. He says, you got to propose to Kelly next week again. It was very funny. So now what happens is I'm like, okay. And I'm forgetting about it. In the back of my mind, it's not going to happen again, you know. Because I figure I'm hurting Michelle's feelings, my wife's feelings. I don't want to do that. But anyway, the next week came, and we all meet before the show. Jerry, how are you going to propose to Kelly tonight? So now I'm on the show for 6 months after this, and every week I had to find a way to propose to her. Now, Carl Sabatino happened to be on the West Coast, and this is a funny part of this story. And from what I understand, he explained it to me, that someone of her entourage was at one of these big gatherings, and they met. And he had said, you know, I got a guy on the radio always proposing to Kelly. Why doesn't she answer the poor fella, for Christ's sake? And he came over to him later with a text that said, she said to tell Mr. Parisi, get in line. And whether or not that really is embellished or whatever the case, it's a great story, you know?
Yes, it's an incredible story.
Right, but you know what? There's, like I said before, if I had a chance to meet a person in real life, let's say it would be Kelly or Robert Downey Jr., it would be Robert Downey Jr., you know?
Yes.
So it there really is no obsession with her. It's just a fun running joke that'll probably go on in the next 20 years.
Yes, so now at least we all heard it here. I think it's definitely, it's a good joke.
There you go. You're the first to have the real revealing of what's going on.
I got the first real scoop live.
breaking news. The breaking news, you know. I actually saw Kelly live. I was married before this marriage for 30 years. Somewhere around the 27th year, it began petering out. But one of the things that I had told at the time, my ex-wife, who I want to proudly say I can still call friend, and if anything, my kids learned you could probably learn and get out of any situation in the end. But she had gotten me tickets to see Kelly Clarkson over at Mohegan Sun. And I really did enjoy that concert. But if you ask me which concert I liked the most that year, because I had gone to Backstreet Boys, I had gone to Avril Lavigne, and I had gone to McCartney the same year I went to see Kelly. I had four concerts that year I went to. In all honesty, it was McCartney, because he was incredibly polished.
Wow.
Yeah.
I saw Kelly Clarkson that year she won American Idol. They were doing American Idol tour. Yes, I was actually out in Long Island. I brought my mom because she's a big American Idol fan. And it was the funniest thing. There was a bunch of screaming teenage girls in front of us, behind us, next to us. There was so much screaming. It was I couldn't believe how much screaming and crying and fainting it was over all the American Idols. Because that's when that other guy that she supposedly was dating, it was his name Justin or Jason, that was on American Idol. There was supposed to be some
I know
going
you mean.
On with that. Everyone thought he was just so dreamy and beautiful. So there was a lot of screaming and young girls jumping up and down. But it was a lot of fun. She's a great performer. I love her music.
She's got a lot of... And by the way, one of those screaming girls was me with a wig. I just want to point that out to you. And
it was so much fun.
It's probably my Scrooge wig. I think I dyed it brown that night, but...
It was Scrooge taking Kelly Clarkson.
That's all we need. She's probably listening to, who the hell is this guy?
What is going on?
Where did I come from? Leave me alone, you know? But,
I wanted to ask you about the publishing clearinghouse prize patrol.
Oh.
How did you get involved in that? That sounds cool.
You know what? I had been in advertising in New York City all my life. I worked at the greatest agencies of the world, Ogilvy, Footcone, Y&R's Chapman Division, Omnicom. And I had gone from one Omnicom agency to another. And I was really getting sick and tired of watching sunrises from my offices, from Ogilvy. And I there was a point I said, you know, sooner or later, you actually have to go home and see your family. Because my kids were young at the time. I have three beautiful kids, Danny, Mike, and Alyssa. And, of course, I have a stepson now, Josh, who's over in Cornell. And I'm very proud of him for that. And I have my five grandchildren. But bring back to that thing, I worked all night in advertising. I didn't go home. I would, like, literally watch sunups. And so I'll lead to that story in a second. I'll never forget when my wife, Rosemary, at the time, I hear the phone ringing. We're working on some commercials at Ogilvy. It was very, very busy. And the phone had rung. And I, just as I was running out of the office, I turned around and ran back in my office and grabbed this. It's Jerry Parisi. Can I help you? And I hear this crackle. It's just, I said, what's that? And she goes, Jer. I go, who is this? She goes, it's me. Are you coming home? So I glance at the clock and I said, we're only getting started. It's only 5 after 5. She goes, 5 after 5 in the morning. And that's the kind of days you had without even expecting it. Cut to me trying to find my way out of the agencies at one point. Say, you know what? I want to work in a city and I have to do this, but I have to sooner or later find a place that's tepid enough that I can go home normal hours. Cut to Bernard Hodes, one of the other Omnicom agencies I work for. It was a recruitment agency. They did big recruitment ads in the Sunday Times. And here was this ad for Publishers Clearinghouse looking for an art director. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. What if I worked in Long Island, not knowing the Long Island market versus New York City? And I wouldn't really recommend that to anybody in a career path of Madison Avenue. Stay at Madison Avenue. It's not the same out here. But I'd gone to PCH. I interviewed and became an art director there. Okay, so now I'm an art director there, and what other trouble can I get into? The prize patrol. Oh, all right, I'd love that. I thought I could put acting together with TV and art. Hey, that's a great idea. I got on the prize patrol. So that's how I got on the prize patrol. But my greatest giveaway, I think, was down in Greenville, South Carolina, because my sister, she never believed that PCH did that. They're always skeptical, you know. Mm-hmm. And I told, you know, it's a skeptical thing, you know. So mm-hmm. I said, no. I said, they do. And this one particular time, I had seen that the winner was in Greenville. And I called her quietly and said, I have a secret for you. What are you doing next week? Oh, nothing. She said, I'm with Amanda and Mario's working nothing. I said, well, now you're going to ride on the Publishers Clearinghouse prize van with me. You're going to watch me give away the check that you say I don't give away. And you're going to be on TV as well.
Oh, wow. There you go. Jerry, we got our first caller. Hold on 1 second.
Oh, all right.
Hello, you're on the air. Insight into Healing.
What's going on, guys? It's Jim Donnelly. How are we doing?
Hi,
Jim. How are you? Jerry Parisi here.
I know, Jerry. How you doing, my friend? Alexa, love you. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thank you so much for calling in.
Of course. I wouldn't miss you guys. Kelly Claxton to Publishers Clearinghouse, and this is good stuff. I'm actually just got home from a long train ride, and I wanted to listen to you guys, and here we are.
Well, you know, you being my whole one fan out there, I
that's two of us.
There you go. It's nice that you're actually, you know, calling in. Well, you know, those stories are all true, Jim. These things did happen to me, and they continue to happen to me because I just put myself in position to get into things like this, which brings on publicity. And, you know, Alexa and I were talking all about how important it is that not only do you stay in the public's eye doing, you know, your live or your movies or however, but you got to form publicity around you. And that's what puts you in the papers, and then people remember you. Oh, yeah, that was that guy who did this, that, and the other thing. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. It is what it is. What kind of specific questions have you got for either of us, sir?
Well, you know, as far as specifics, I know you both are actors. I know you both do what I'm doing. I know you work hard. And I mean, what separates yourself in the industry from others?
I'm better looking.
Well, you play the Scrooge good.
Humbug to you, sir. He's a mean old guy. What separates me from the others? Nothing. I try to keep humble. The reality is I do not stop. I work about 20 hours. When I'm done with this, I'll be doing the advertising for Madhouse TV on Friday for my show. And it's still never enough. 20 hours a day is never enough, Jim. So what separates me, I'd like to think, but I'm positive I'm not cornering the market on this, is how I juggle a year. And I say, okay, at this month I was at 3 commercials. I want to be at 4. And that's like the goal, you know. At this month I was in a newspaper here. It's got to be there. It's got to be this and a cover. And, you know, and the funny thing about the covers in the newspaper, I have been in a lot of newspapers as Scrooge. But usually you get like, you know, a postage stamp picture of your face or something small like that, or, you know, a little bit of a story, and you're walking in the background. This one particular time where I'm on the cover of Newsday, people started calling me. Hey, did you see yourself on Newsday? No, I didn't. Did you see yourself on the cover of Newsday? No, I didn't. And I didn't really take them seriously. And I'm driving home from running some morning errands, and my neighbor pulls up next to me. He goes, did you see yourself on the cover of Newsday? Now I'm like, wait a minute. How big is this picture that you all see it? You know, I'm thinking it's a montage and there's like about 1,000 things going on. He goes, you're on the whole cover. I said, what? Just then, Angela Galizio, she's my agent. Angela Galizio is my manager. She's wonderful, powerful, driven woman, which I love her for all the help she gives me all the time. She calls me up just that moment. She says, Parisi. I says, Angela, what? And she says, do you know? I said, oh, wait, don't tell me, let me guess. I'm on the cover of Newsday. I says, Angela, this is a big picture. She goes, damn it, go get 50 copies. It's the whole cover. I'm like, oh, my God.
Wow.
So the funny thing was that same weekend, I was featured all over News 12. And they keep running that footage, by the way. Up until this year, they ran footage of me. I'm not in that festival anymore, but they keep running the same footage. And the funny thing was, it's all done, right? And I wind up going to the gym on that Monday morning, and I'm doing some, like, weights. And just then these two girls come walking over, and they're, like, looking at me, and they're bending over, sort of like they're looking at me like in horror. And I go, what? I said, wait a minute. What's the matter? They said, were you on TV this weekend? And I go, yeah. I said, what channel were you looking at? 55? You're looking at News 12? Was I Scrooge? They go, no, you stole $100. I go, what?
Oh, wrong guy. Wow.
I had been on True TV's Caught Red-Handed as a store manager in New York City who stole money. And I didn't know this, but that True TV episode aired that same time I was Scrooge. So
it was your time.
It was incredible timing, because here comes this newspaper all over the place, and I was getting calls like crazy. And here comes all this News 12 footage, all this Channel 55 stuff. And at the same time, True TV's cable stuff, I was like riding on a cloud. It's like, wow, I am going to be the next Robert Downey Jr. Yay! You know.
Sure.
Guys, we have another caller on the line. Hold on. Let him join the conversation.
Another
caller? Hi, you're on Insight into Healing.
Am I on?
You're on the radio. Who is this?
Oh, I am. This is Larry Dubin. Hello, Jerry.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
Hello, Larry.
Larry, how are we doing?
What a fun...
How are you? By the way, Alexa, I was going to tell you, I could talk to Jerry tomorrow. I'd rather ask you a question.
Oh, no, you're going to propose to her on the air? And Alexa, this is your story. Now you get proposals
on the air.
No,
yeah. I was told I can ask a question to you and her. So I'll ask you both one question each, all right?
Just
to be fair. But I do have a client in about 2 minutes, so let me do this quickly.
Okay.
It's nice to hear your voice, Jerry, by the way. You're funny.
Thanks.
Alexa.
Donnelly, wait, is this question for Jim Donnelly, too? The poor guy's on the phone as well. All right, go ahead.
Yes.
All right. Well, Alexa's prettier than you also, by the way.
No kidding.
Ah, there you go. I just wanted to hear you admit it, Uncle.
Why wouldn't
Uncle?
I?
Do you use music for healing at all? I was just curious, Alexa.
What did you say? I'm sorry.
You use music as a way of healing.
Yes.
Yeah, she takes her tea and rubs it all over someone's forehead. That usually cures a headache. She rubs it on their toes and goes, oh, God.
Well, that was a different
yes, I find that music helps a lot with healing and I think relaxation. So a lot of times with my clients or with friends or anything, I think it de-stresses. And I think it helps a lot, you know, changing your thought patterns and being able, you know, to really distract yourself from what's stressing you during the day or at night. So it could kind of, especially like meditation, special meditation music, the music you hear, you know, sometimes when you're, you know, going for a massage or you go into like a sanctuary, they play very calming music. I find that really helps a lot.
Yeah, well, I told you, I'm a substance abuse counselor. I used it for many, many years, music, in my treatment with adolescents and adults, and it worked very good. And I was actually on a radio show, a different one, we won't mention the name, where actually I'll mention the name of the show. It's called Music is Therapy, and it's actually a great show, and this gentleman that runs it believes in it, too, and that's why he put me on the show also as well. But that was definitely great stuff, definitely great. And Jerry, I just wanted to ask you, what do you got coming up? What's any big stars on Long Island filmmaker? Any movies, TV shows? What else? What's going on in the very near future?
Well, that's a loaded question with like 90 answers.
It is, isn't it?
First of all,
I think it's a great question.
Thank you. The truth is, I just did Inside Amy Schumer the other day, and I really didn't do very much. It was more of a meet and greet of someone else on a set, and she got me into that with just blink of an eye, have that SAG card ready, you know. And who else is on my show? Oh, I have Alexa on my show on Friday, so I know you'll be camping out looking for her autograph. That's fine.
Well, that's preferential treatment. I've only been on one. That's all right.
I can't wait to come back.
You do a lot of stuff that's very important, and I think it's good that he had you on twice. Plus, I'll get a chance to see it and listen to it. He's right.
There you go, Steve.
You've already got me on your side, so don't worry about it.
Oh,
guys,
thank
you. Guys, I'm going to bounce, and I'm going to listen on the air on the phone.
Yes.
It's a pleasure. Absolute pleasure, Jerry.
A darling. Anyway, listen, I got to go because I got a client, but I wanted to say hello, and I wanted to ask those questions.
Thank you, Jerry.
I will be speaking to you, I know for sure. And Alexa, I'm sure I'll see you online later.
Yes, thank you so much. Have a good night.
Great, thank you. You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And guys, I'm going to let you finish up, and I'm going to bounce myself, and I'm going to continue to listen. It's absolutely a pleasure.
Okay, thank you.
Jim, you actually have 7 questions coming to you after Larry was on. So,
boy. You know, we'll do this for part 2.
Yes,
what
we can
that?
Do a part 2. Because, Jim, I wanted to answer your question when you said what sets you apart. I think one thing what my parents always taught me is to always make sure that what you bring to the table, and I think, you know, what helps sometimes, as I said plenty of times on my show, is finding your niche, not always just saying you have to do one thing, but having a diverse background. I think that's what really, you know, sets people apart. Also, has you stand out at an audition, has you stand out with a casting director. If you have different things under your belt, different careers, different experiences, I think really help also, you know, with your character and with your depth.
Without a doubt, without a doubt. It's an interesting story about Henry Winkler, the Fonz, I had heard. And a good friend of mine, Alan Scott, actually worked with him on Royal Pains. But let's go back to that story. The story was that, you remember, he was supposed to be a motorcycle guy, and the audition was for someone like him to come in and to take a comb and comb their hair. And they had to all be in leather jackets. Well, he didn't go in a leather jacket. He went in one of those little, I can't think of the name of it, but it's on the tip of my tongue, a little like a khaki jacket, for lack of a better word. And it was a nice little zipper-up one. And when it came time to combing his hair, he looked in the mirror just with the comb, and he let it go with that. He got the part instantly because he cut through the clutter, didn't do exactly what they wanted him to do, but probably figured if he didn't do something different, it's going to get lost in all those same people doing the identical thing.
Yes.
So it always pays to be different, you know, push the envelope. And sometimes you got to deliver what people think they mean and not what they say. I mean what they
yes.
say. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
You know, I agree. When I go on an audition, I always go big because I can always tone you down. That's just me.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, you should
yes.
actually come on my show, too, because it would be nice to have somebody like you on my show. I haven't had anybody in a while. So why don't you inbox me later, and I will give you some dates as well. And I'd love to have you on board.
That sounds fantastic. I'd love that.
Done.
Awesome.
Done deal already,
come
my friend.
Again.
I certainly will. Guys, absolutely a pleasure, and it's a great night, and I'll talk to you guys both soon. Thank you for your time.
Okay, great.
Thank you, Jim.
Have a good night.
Calling in. Thank you. Thank
Bye-bye
you.
Now.
Bye-bye. Jim
what
is
nice,
great. He's such
a nice gentleman.
Guy. He's great. Yes, yeah. yes, definitely. Well, we're coming to the end, Jerry. How can people find you, follow you, watch your show? What's all your contact information?
Well, it's really funny. I walk down the street, and I see a line of people following me. Usually, I don't know why, but I try to get rid of them. They don't. How can they find me? First of all, you can find me at Jerry Parisi on Facebook. And that would be Jerry Parisi. And you can find me that way. And I do try to really answer all the inboxes. You can email me at gparisi2@optonline.net. That's my email. And once again, if it's a nice email, I will get back to you. One of the most annoying things I find is when people friend you or send you something and they want something from you, or they'll friend you to put a post of sunglasses or something like that on my Facebook. And let me just say, you probably get that too, right?
Yes, I do. There's a certain person who always does the sunglasses.
Yeah, and you know something? I take it off instantly and I block the person. Because I will talk to you for hours if you want and time permits, especially if you are someone who's really sincere and just wants to talk. But if you use me to just post and use all the contacts I have on my wall, well, you're not going to get too far because I won't keep it. My phone alerts me instantly when something's placed.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you can call Ad Count Marketing to get on the Filmmaker Show at 631-509-1226. I'll say it again. It's 631-509-1226. And you could talk to me about that. If you are interested in getting a show or putting some work on Madhouse TV, you can call me about the commercial things. You can actually call Vicki Mealy over at Madhouse TV. And at 631-669-7999, I believe I said that right, but you could find me one way or another, and you could always talk to them. So finding me is pretty easy, unless you're a kidnapper and I run away. it's funny, when you're on the radio like this, you wonder how many people really listen, and I know there's a lot. And I want to just say to anybody who's taken the time out to listen to your show, on my behalf of the wonderful person you are, Alexa, and you truly are a wonderful lady, I want to say thank you for allowing me to be here and to say some of my cute little stories. And hopefully I put a smile on your face tonight, which is what I'd like to do. If you have an event or something that you want me to come talk to, especially if it's got something to do with poor children who need some help or seniors who want to be brightened up, you can give me a call as well. It's 631-509-1226. Or you can call Angela Galizio at G&G Talent, and she can set something up. In fact, if it's more of an acting thing, it's probably better to go through Angela Galizio at gngtalent.com.
Great.
Because this
thank
way
you
she
so much.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Alexa, and I look forward to seeing you on Friday. And we should hopefully make some more people laugh.
Yes, I can't wait. So everyone, thank you so much for listening. If you have any questions, you can send them to insightintohealing@gmail.com, or you can find me on Facebook at www.facebook.com/insightintohealing and send me a message. And again, Jerry, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. It's always a pleasure. It's always a laugh, and I love having a smile on my face. And everyone, have a good night, and God bless.
Take care, everyone. Good night.